Well, indeed, as I announced, we're going to finish up the Beatitudes. But since I made that announcement, I feel the Lord pushing me in another direction, and I sure hope I have his heart in this and his leading in this, because I want to go somewhere else. But while we're going there, just maybe something to lighten things up a little bit, a joke perhaps, if you'll indulge me. As our brother Aaron during the Lord's Supper mentioned that he's likes to read the hymns and really study where the punctuation is, and reminded me of something I saw once that, talking about punctuation, it said, "Let's eat grandma." And it says, "Commas matter." So just with that little levity, we'll begin. Let's look to the Lord in prayer again, shall we? Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to gather together, to come under the sound of your word, to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, sometimes, as we've studied in the past, we need to be interrupted. Sometimes we need to have things just stop and hear what you have to say. Not that you weren't speaking to us or can't speak through the Beatitudes, Father, but sometimes you need us to hear something else. We need to be reminded of things. And so, Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you that you've given us your word, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that they work together. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Historically, this comes after God's judgment upon the nation of Israel. And he reminds them of his great love towards them. In chapter 40, verse 1, it says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed." Of course, we know this is the message that John the Baptist came preaching to the nation of Israel. A message of repentance to make ready for the hearts of the Messiah who would come to Israel to preach peace to the people. And not just peace to the people of Israel, but peace to the whole world. That he would offer peace, real peace, not as the world gives, he said, "Do I give you?" But real peace. Peace that is made through victory. And last week, not last week, but the week prior, when we looked at the peacemakers, we looked at the fact that peace only comes through surrender, that there is an end of hostilities, and there was a hostility between man and God. And the only way that it could be made a lasting peace is through the total defeat of sin. And it is only through the defeat of sin, because of Jesus Christ on the cross, that we can have that peace, that we can enter into the Lord's peace. And the voice said, "Cry out." He said, "What shall I cry?" What we need to cry out is for the Lord to forgive us of our sins, is for the Lord to cry out to him in our utter dependence, in our utter need of him, and to fall upon his loving tenderness and his grace towards us. And the Lord knows our frame. He says here, "All flesh is grass, and it is love, and all of its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because of the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, and the grass withers, and the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever." See, that's the thing. He knows our frame. He knows what we like, what we're like. He knows that we are weak. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago. I'd like to think that I was a strong young man. And now here I am 50 years old. And time like that, just gone. And I especially think about the fact that my father was 55 when he passed away. And I'm 5 short years from that. And so our lives are not very long. We have a short life on this earth. And so if this is all that there is, what is here before us, there's got to be more. And thank the Lord that he showed us that there is more, that there is more to life than just what we see. It is what is going around us, or it is what we can't see. It is what we are going to inherit to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have cried out, as we've already read, and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that will inherit eternal life, that will inherit a world that we have not seen yet, a world that is coming to us. It's called heaven. It's going to be our home. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice in strength. Lift up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span. Calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And part of my job is to take material and cut it to a certain length and attach it together. I used to be a carpenter. I guess I still am. I'm not no longer a carpenter, but now I'm learning to be a plumber. And those connections are even more important. Not that they weren't important before. I guess, you know, you had a little more leeway with things, but you take things and you measure and you cut them and you put them together. But the Lord, look what it says here. Who's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? This little spot right here, right there. 70% of our earth is water. You take a cup, you reach your hand in and take a cup out of Lake Erie, you've not diminished it at all. It's not going to even notice. But yet the Lord holds all the water of the earth in his hand. That's how mighty of a God he is. Who has measured heaven with a span? You know, I've got a 25-foot tape measure. That's all I can measure with. I also have another one on a wheel that if I take it out, I can pull the whole tape out, and it's 100 feet. That's all I can measure with. Unless I get in my truck, and then, you know, eventually it's going to run out of gas before I finish measuring how many miles I've traveled. We know, we are very familiar with our limitations and what we cannot do. And yet this is a God who knows no bounds, knows no limits, and knows no restrictions on his power. No, he's got the whole world in his hands, I've heard once. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel and instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust on the scales. And yet this mighty God who counts the nations as but dust on a scale, is so intimately wanting fellowship with us and wanting to spend time with us that he gave his own begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you think of anything better? Absolutely. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8 for some quick reminders. Romans chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You know, it was told to me once, I heard it once said that Abraham Lincoln was in a meeting with all his generals. The Civil War is going on. And he's got this meeting with all of his generals. And in walks this little boy, comes in and hops right on his lap, called him Daddy. To think that the President of the United States can be interrupted by a small child, his own son, and can call him Daddy. You and I have that ability to come into the Lord's presence and we cry out, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We have this inheritance that is preserved for us. Can't be corrupted. Can't be taken away, can't be diminished, you can't run out of it, because it's kind of like a trust fund in a way. It's reserved for us, and at the right time, we're going to get it. And that inheritance is God Almighty. He is our reward. He is our inheritance. And we have been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ, something that we... How do I sit up here and explain it to you adequately? That Jesus Christ gave himself so that we might live for him, that we might gain everything that he has, even though he lived a sinless life and we live sinful lives. It is beyond my understanding. And yet the fact is I enjoy it this morning because it's been given to me and it cannot be taken away because that's not how God operates. He doesn't give and then take back. So in verse 31 of Romans chapter 8, it says, "What then shall we say to these things?" What are you going to say about it? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him us for us all, how then shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God, what more proof do we need that God loves us, that he gave his own son? He's going to, and that he delights to give us all things. It says, Jesus said in Matthew, but he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, does not the Father in heaven know how to give even greater gifts? If we ask him for bread, is he going to give us a stone? The gifts that God gives are so much greater than we can give. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? You know, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And boy, one of the greatest ways that he has to get us down is to remind us of our sins over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Likes to play that tape over again. I remember my father, and I love him dearly, was almost crippled mentally with the fact that he was such a sinner, that he never progressed any further than what he did. And I don't mean this to dishonor him. Please don't take it wrongly. but never got past the fact that God loved him so much. And how could he love such a sinner? Accept it. Accept the fact that God loves you and he wants the best for you and he wants you to grow. What child do we have that we do not want to see them grow and move on for the Lord and carry on for him? You have to be like a relief pitcher. How many of you know what a closer is in baseball? Okay? You get up there, the game's on the line, and they put the ball in your hand and you got to finish it out. You've got to have a mental attitude that you can get this job done. But the fact is, unlike a closer, it's not our abilities. It's not our spiritual strength or our talents God's looking for. It's our complete reliance upon him that gets the job done. And yeah, we're going to screw up. We're going to throw, you may throw off some bad pitches, may even give up a hit. But the fact is, Christ has already won the game. Christ has already won everything. It's just ours to go ahead and get in there and get the job done. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for who? For us. He makes intercession for us. Every time we sin, he shows his hands to the Lord and says, I bore the price. I paid the cost. I paid for their sins. So there's no more charge that can be brought against us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Let's say the worst happens during this pandemic that we've already prayed for our brother Mike for. Let's say the worst happens. We become one of those 200 plus thousand people. We're going to be that much closer to the Lord. We're going to be with him. Distress? Persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things to come, nor things present, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Use this as a reminder because, brothers and sisters, it's so quick with this world. This world wants to take us, our minds off of Christ. This world wants to have us forget about him. I mean, it's... If you watch the news, it like grabs you by the shoulders and tries to tell you, this is important, pay attention to this. It's not. It's not important. Not as important as what this says. Not as important what God says about you. Not as important as what it says about Jesus Christ. And I was so thankful for the song that we sang coming up right before I came up, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I was also thinking of the song, the hymn, the mighty hymn that Martin Luther wrote. It says, though this world with devils filled, though there are all these distractions, all these things in this world that seek to bring us down, seek to come after us, seek to attack us, we're not the right man on our side. Who is that man? We sang about him. Oh, my soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Or over us sin no more hath dominion. For more than conquerors we are. conquerors. Christ conquered everything. He defeated death. He defeated the last enemy. All we have to do is trust him and enter into that salvation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the promises that are precious, that are yea and amen. Father, we thank you that despite what this world tries to mold us to think, despite what it tells us, despite what the enemy whispers in our ear, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded our helpless estate and has shed his own blood for our soul. Father, we thank you that your love and your mercy is new every morning. Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon you and upon nothing else. Let us be steadfast, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Could we again sing number 495, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
Full in his wonderful face.